My guest at this time is Carly Fiorina. She is the former head of Hewlett-Packard. She was the Republican nominee for U.S. Senate in California in 2010. And she is now the head of the Unlocking Potential Project. You can find that at up-project.org. She joins me today in response to a Republican-led survey that came out last week that reinforced the party's problem with female voters. There were many different descriptions for how female voters look at the Republican Party, and most of them not too positive. So for the next few minutes, we'll be talking about why that is and what the GOP can do about it. And Carly, thanks so much for being with us.
Hey, it's my great pleasure. Thank you for having me today.
You're welcome. The party already knew that it had this problem. It's one of the major focal points of the post-2012 Republican National Committee report. Why do you believe that there still exists this pretty significant gender gap, and why women simply don't connect well with the GOP?
Well, I think there are a couple things. First, I think the Democrats have very successfully used the war on women rhetoric to play up on women's fears. And they're doing it again this election cycle. They used it very effectively in 2012. And unfortunately, in 2012, we never really pushed back. We allowed the Democrats to categorize women as single-issue voters, to categorize women as caring only about reproductive rights. So I think that's one of the issues we have to push back very hard on, by saying all issues are women's issues and talking about all the issues that women care about. That's part of what we're trying to do at up-project.org, the Unlocking Potential Project. I think the second problem is, and this poll reflects it, you know, women don't respond well to judgmental kinds of commentary. Women like to be persuaded by other women they know. So I think our tone has to be empathetic. I think it has to be non-judgmental. I think we have to engage women in a grassroots effort. The second thing that the Unlocking Potential Project is really focused on, engaging women in their communities, in their places of work, in their places of worship, to persuade and talk with other women in empathetic, non-judgmental terms about all the issues. And I think finally we have to acknowledge that, you know, women are prepared to disagree with one another, but they want that disagreement to be respectful, and they want to be able to go on past that disagreement and find common ground.
You talked about how this goes to many more issues than just the issues that the Democrats raised in 2012 about reproductive issues and so forth, but it really goes across the board that women care about issues all over the political spectrum, domestic, international, and how it affects their families and so forth. So how do you go about turning issues, whether it's health care or education or the economy or the war on terrorism, into ones that they can relate to the Republican position on?
You're making a really important point. In fact, I think sometimes people forget, the Democrats certainly have forgotten, that women are half the country. We represent 53% of voters. We're not a special interest group. We're the majority of the country. And so, of course, women care about every issue. They care about job creation. They care about health care. They care about terrorism. They care about security. They care about education, et cetera. And I think one of the things that we need to do is stop talking at high-level policy and start talking in a way that connects to a personal life. So let me give you an example. Republicans talk a lot about less taxation and less regulation. Well, that's a great policy, but we need to land that in a woman's life. So imagine for a moment that you're a single mother. And by the way, many, many households today are headed by single women. More women are living in poverty today than ever before. Let's assume that you're a single mother with two kids and you've just gotten your cosmetology license. That's a great Main Street entrepreneurial opportunity to open up the hairdressers. And you want to do that. It'll probably take you in some states 472 days to get through all the regulations and the permits. You might give up. That's more than a year. And if you make it through that more than a year process, you're going to confront a tax code that's extremely complex, thousands of pages, and you might give up again because you can't afford an accountant and a lawyer. That's the impact at a personal level of overtaxation and overregulation. That's the way we have to speak to women, in a way that connects with their lives and their issues.
You mentioned a moment ago, Carly, that women are not this monolithic special interest voting bloc. They care about different things, and obviously, depending on the person, certain issues will matter more to them than others. Interestingly, in this poll, there's not just a gender gap in general, but there is a marriage gap here because married women do prefer Republicans as opposed to non-married women. Why do you think that is, and how then does that niche argument need to be formed to approach those who are not married?
Well, you know, it's very interesting, and that has been the case for quite some time. And I think as Republicans, we need to understand that single women are not simply young women, but there, as I mentioned before, there are a lot of single women now who are heads of households. And so, again, I think it comes down to, remember in 2012, Mitt Romney won on every issue, the exit polling data shows, but he lost on the issue by 62 points. He lost on the question of cares about someone like me. Had he lost that question by 30 points, he'd be president. So what that tells us is that all politics is personal, that people make decisions, men and women make decisions about what they think is going to impact them personally. And so if our party talks way up in the air, if our party comes across as judgmental, as lacking in empathy, as lacking in understanding of people's real issues and problems, then we're going to lose.
You also have recently written a piece for townhall.com explaining why liberal policies are hurting women across the board. The title of it is A Hollow Gesture from a Failed President. You've explained how to get more personal when explaining the Republican message. What about in criticizing the performance of elected officials that these people probably voted for in the past? So you don't want to completely insult their previous choices, but you want to explain to them why perhaps they might want to go in a different direction this time. So how do you go about explaining why you believe the president's been a failure without offending them for voting for him in the first place?
We need to stick with facts and data. You know, the facts are on our side, and this is why the Democrats continue to hurl what I call shameless, baseless propaganda, because they don't have the facts. So the facts are these. More women are living in poverty than ever before. Women are bearing the brunt of the results of Obamacare. Women are not losing access to birth control, as the Democrats claim, but they are losing access to their doctors. They're losing access to their hospitals. They're losing access to procedures that their doctors may be recommending. And, you know, you mentioned foreign policy as well. It is women and children who are being slaughtered by terrorists. It is women and children who are suffering in addition to soldiers of war. And so I think all of these things, it is on the question of education, which women care deeply about, it is the teachers' unions who are fighting against pay for performance. It is women as parents who lack choices in how to educate their children. I don't think this is rocket science, honestly, but I do think it is about speaking to people in personal terms, and that includes women. And part of what we are trying to do with the Unlocking Potential Project is to train women so that they can engage in persuasive conversation with other women, not 30-second sound bites on the television, but persuasive conversation, because we know that women are most influenced by other women they know.
Last 60 seconds here. Carly, tell folks a little bit more about the Unlocking Potential Project and how they can get involved.
Well, come to our website, up-project.org. Tell us who you are and where you are. We're focusing right now on 6 states: Virginia, North Carolina, New Hampshire, Michigan, Colorado, and Iowa. These are all states that are purple. These are all states where women can make a difference in the outcome of the election. They certainly have in the past. And we're training women, galvanizing women to go out and speak with other women with whom they have an affinity about the issues that matter most to them. You know, the other thing Republicans have done is underinvest in the ground game. So we have to invest in the ground game. In addition to the air wars, we got to invest in the ground game and engage women in speaking to other women.
Up-project.org. Again, it's the Unlocking Potential Project. Carly, thanks so much for your time tonight. It's been great having you with us.
It's great to be with you. Thank you for having me.
Carly Fiorina, founder of the Unlocking Potential Project. Again, up-project.org. She is a former head of Hewlett-Packard and a Republican nominee for U.S. Senate in the state of California in the year 2010. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.